Hi, this is Christopher Daniels. I've been called many things in my life. Fallen angel, idol of millions, inspiration to children everywhere, pillar of society, and I'm listening to Weeby Geeks. And now, so are you. Don't you feel better?
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power.
Mission commencing.
My name is Optimus Prime.
All wings, check in.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red Button standing by.
Red Fox standing by.
Big Red standing by.
Red October standing by.
Helen Reddy standing by.
Simply Red standing by.
Great Scott!
So, the bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
Meanwhile, across town at the home for the mentally deficient...
It's another episode of Weeby Geeks, and tonight you're joined by Eric and Mike. I am Mike.
I was going to say, you said my name first, and I thought maybe you would become Eric and I would have to be you.
No, we're not getting that lucky.
Okay.
We're staying the same. No parent trap here. Or Freaky Friday. Whatever it was.
Yeah, the parent trap would mean we were twins.
Twins, yeah.
Yeah. Or possibly both played by the same person with a mirror.
That true. So, I will correct myself like I caught myself. And, no, it's not Freaky Friday. So, it's... After Bound for Glory, which, you know, we've had two of the eight participants of the Gauntlet match from Bound
for Glory.
What happened? What's that?
What happened in the Gauntlet match, yeah.
The one team that no one expected won it.
Okay.
It was the Bromans.
Okay.
Which, you know, is the one guy who's the Jersey Shore type character, and the other Musclehead.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and they ended up winning the tag team titles as well.
Okay, so that's the direction that they're going in.
I'm like, really? Okay, so I was for sure it was going to be either Christopher Daniels and Kaz, a.k.a. Bad Influence, or it was going to be Supermax and Chavo.
Well, you notice that we had Supermax and we had Christopher Daniels on the show, and they both said to watch the, ladder match or whatever?
The pre-show gauntlet match.
Yeah, they both said to watch the gauntlet match, and neither of them said, make sure you buy the pay-per-view.
True.
That should have tipped us off.
True. So, but yeah, interesting turn. So, Chris, Sean, we were pulling for both of you guys. Like I said, I would have loved to have seen the tag titles turn, you know, tag title match turn into a three-way tag team.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I will.
Most things are better when they turn into a three-way.
Hey. So, anyhow, so how's your week been?
Oh, I can't complain. I think I have a headache from playing too much Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon's a Jamaican proctologist.
Wow. We're going to get letters for that, Mike.
Bad joke?
Bad joke and vaguely racist.
Oh.
Just vaguely.
Anyhow. I saw with the pick list, have I finally gotten you, hooked on Larfleeze?
I've always liked Larfleeze. It's, you know, the best Green Lantern book since Geoff Johns left Green Lantern.
Which I think issue one was about the same week.
Yeah.
It was like either a month... The same month or the month at, no, it's the same month as, no.
Yeah,
it was the month after.
Right after, yeah.
It was the month after Geoff Johns left.
Yeah, Geoff Johns left on issue 20, and Mark Fleece came out alongside the 21 issues.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis.
Right, with Michael Atiyah coloring.
Yeah.
It's a great book. It really is. It's a new twist. It's almost that one breath of fresh air that DC needed with the book.
DC needs something.
Well, this is it. They announced that Katana is gone, with the December issue.
Yeah, they're bringing back Stephanie Brown in some sort of
right
context, so that's something.
Green Team is gone in January. That'll be its last issue.
It doesn't surprise me. I don't think that book managed to click.
Yeah. So,
Anytime DC does anything that appeals to anyone outside their core audience, it fails, and I think it's because DC has alienated everyone that's not in their core audience.
True.
Like, to the point where they're like, why would I pick up another book from DC? You know, it's just going to be another shitty Rob Liefeld book.
Right.
Which is basically what almost the entire line has become. The good books from them are few and far between today.
Right. Well, that's why, yeah, I'm hooked on Lara Flees. I'm hooked on Batman 66 from DC. The others, it's a hit and miss.
Well, did you see the variant cover for Harley Quinn Zero?
No.
It's essentially, it's a drawing of Miley Cyrus with Harley Quinn's outfit and hair.
Okay. Mask or no mask?
Face paint.
Okay. Interesting. That came out this week, or it comes out within the next month, right?
No, I don't know when it's out. I think it's December.
Is it next month? 2 months. We're still in October. Jeez.
Yeah, I think it's vaguely. December.
Well, I mentioned Katana.
Yeah.
Wraps in December. It's kind of interesting that Cartoon Network has kind of paused Beware the Bat or Beware the Batman.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden it's in rerun mode. If that. I mean,
I'm sorry, Harley Quinn Zero's out November 6th. I don't mean to interrupt. I just double-checked.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah, and the Miley Cyrus variant cover, it's not even the white face paint, which I don't know if she normally wears.
Right.
It's just you know, the heavy eyeliner and above the eyes. But it does. It looks like Miley Cyrus, even with the front of the hair in Harley Quinn's, with the tongue sticking out too, that thing going on.
Wow.
Because we haven't pissed enough people off with this Harley Quinn book yet.
Right.
They don't learn. But Beware the Batman. If you can't sell Batman to kids, what the fuck are you doing with your life? You need to seriously, like, take a vacation and go, what am I doing with my life? Why am I making cartoons if I can't get kids to watch Batman?
Right. Well, they did this last year with Young Justice, Green Lantern. They aired like two episodes, and then it stopped.
Yeah, and then they canceled them.
Then they said, we'll be back after the first of the year. It's like, then why did you even do two episodes of each if you're going to just also? And they pulled it cold turkey.
Yeah, well, I remember that the Young Justice episode had already gone up on iTunes for sale.
So did Green Lantern.
Yeah.
They both did. And then within a week, they had to pull them. So a lot of people are suspecting that this might be the same way.
Yeah, I don't think Beware the Batman is going to be long. And the reason, you know, the reason that they kept airing those shows after they pulled them, then the reason they brought them back in January, which is a dead spot,
right,
is that, you know, they paid for production already. They have such a long production cycle. You know, unlike South Park, which turns around in 6 days, these take months, I think 18 months from start to finish for an average cartoon.
Possible.
It's like the general, that's like as a rule of thumb, it's like 12 to 18 months.
Right.
Is the turnaround time on animation. So they've already got, you know, I mean, they're going to finish the season, but they're going to burn it off in bad time slots, essentially.
Seems like it. Well, I mean, the episodes are there.
Yeah.
This
is like the lowest rated Batman series.
Yeah. Well, with those Mr. Toad and Professor Pig characters, like, okay, that came out of nowhere. I don't remember those in the comics.
I didn't watch it, but I seem to remember a Toad and a Pig from Grant Morrison's Batman. When Dick Grayson was Batman and Damian was Robin.
Okay. Well, the pig is a man wearing a pig mask. Toad is an actual toad.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Like, if you go back and read the very first story arc in the New 52 of the Batman titled the Just Batman, those are the villains in it.
Yeah, the article that announced this. Yeah, they make an interesting comment. In what seems like DC Nation deja vu, new episodes of Batman have been pulled from Cartoon Network next weekend, which would be this coming weekend.
It would be right now, actually, if you're listening to this. Yeah, on Saturday. Sure.
It's already happened. They tweeted, I have a feeling the backlash will not be anywhere near as loud as last time. It's a week ahead, and two, many likely don't care as much.
Yeah, Young Justice had a very dedicated fan base. Beware the Batman. I don't even know if Beware the Batman even has fans.
Okay.
I've never heard anyone talk about it.
I watched it. It was getting interesting. They were slowly introducing some of the outsider characters. I was kind of hoping it would become more with the outsiders.
We'll have to see. It was a swing and a miss, which, like I said, it's Batman. You know, you can't, if you're not getting people to watch Batman.
Well, I think it's funny. Green Lantern, the animated series, is canceled, yet the comic is still selling.
Oh, yeah, the Johnny DC Green Lantern.
Yeah.
They'll probably cancel that. Before too long, because that's what happened with Teen Titans Go, by Jay Torres.
Right.
It went on for a little while after the cartoon got canceled, and, you know, eventually DC said, look, this comic is meant to promote the cartoon. The cartoon's not anymore. We're canceling it, even though it's selling well.
Well, they're saying Beware the Batman was expected to keep the struggling Katana comic book series afloat, but that got canceled last week. Yes, she is.
Yeah, well.
Well, and Alfred's a little different twist, too. He's a butler who was actually a secret spy. Or who had been a spy before becoming.
So's Alfred in the comments. They don't touch on it because he's older. He's far too old to be involved in any sort of action. And he's retired. Alfred was, I believe, SIS in the comics as well.
Well, this Alfred seems like he was more Cold War, maybe from the Cold War.
Yeah.
Type deal. Still active. Or still has ties. Still still could go out there with no problems and fight, even though he's older.
Never got killed and turned into a crazy monster supervillain?
No.
Okay, you know that actually happened in the comics, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, but apparently, what this means, they could be just putting the show on a unannounced but planned hiatus, to give it time to produce more episodes. Or, remember too, they also said there was going to be a new Justice League cartoon with a new 52 feel to it. That's being developed by Bruce Timm.
Yeah, Beware the Batman's days are numbered. It is too low rated, I think. I think it gets like barely over 1 million viewers.
And yet Teen Titans Go is still
Teen Titans
strong.
Go gets much better ratings.
Yeah, and to me, I think that's the weaker of the two shows.
No. I haven't really watched either of them. I can just sit back and say, you know, Teen Titans Go, I can see where it appeals to a younger audience.
Yeah. Well, Teen Titans Go is based on the DC Nation shorts, and they decided to turn it into the actual, bring back the series. Unlike the original Teen Titans cartoon. So, there's the cover for Harley Quinn. Sorry, I derailed this time. Okay, it would have been better to really go the full Miley Cyrus effect if she was riding a wrecking ball.
Yeah, well, she's got the giant hammer. But yeah, you can see it looks, it's meant to look like Miley Cyrus. It's basically Miley Cyrus's face with some makeup on it. It's the haircut is the same in the front except with the long colored pigtails.
Yeah, it's definitely her haircut with pigtails added.
Mm-hmm.
But why did they go, okay,
this is the same suit,
but the pigtails are blue and the one sock's blue. Okay, whatever.
That's the new design. It's not as good.
Yeah.
But I guess it's like sexier. Her tits are popping out, and you know, that's what DC thinks sells comics.
Well, it's
which and the thing is
it's the Arkham Asylum look.
It's the Arkham City game look. Maybe to an extent, but I mean that was better than this.
Yeah.
And
Well, it's like,
it's Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connors, and, you know, I know they are quite capable of doing a good series like this. They've done it before.
Right.
It's DC editorial just has their head so far up their ass that they found Narnia to mix metaphors.
Right. So do you think this is going to be a strong series?
I don't know. I'll have to read it.
Okay. See, I enjoyed the character on the animated. I've never read enough of her in the comics to go, okay.
Well, she's not a good character in Suicide Squad, but you know, I think Palmiotti and Connors will write her more like in the Bruce Timm series.
Now, how was the one-off from Villains?
I didn't read it.
Okay.
Now, I just don't buy into them.
Riddler was good. I enjoyed it.
I could do without the line-wide special events from DC, too.
Right.
I mean, you know, they just don't know what they're doing. Really don't.
No.
Since the new 52, I mean.
Well, it's funny you bring that up.
Some of the books were good at launch, and everything has drifted into mediocrity.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because they kind of allude to that in the PBS special, Superheroes, which you tipped me off. I wanted to see it, Yeah. I wasn't sure what, I thought it was coming out next month.
Yeah.
You could go to PBS's website and watch them now for a limited time.
Yeah, pbs.org/superheroes.
Yes. It's going to be worth, it'll be worth picking up on DVD to rewatch it.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. The people that they had on to talk about comics, they had some comics historians who were all very insightful, but they also had, you know, they had Joe Kubert on, they had Stan Lee on, they had Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill. They had
one person who agreed with you.
Mark.
Okay. It ruined my life. It was the darkest day of my life. When I was 10 years old, Gwen Stacy was my girlfriend. I adored Gwen Stacy. And I will tell you to this day that that was my Kennedy assassination moment. When Gwen Stacy died, I remember where I was. I remember what I was wearing. I remember where I was reading that comic. And I remember walking around in a daze for the rest of the day. Because in comics, characters didn't die.
And cue Eric.
Yes, that was prolific comics writer Mark Waid.
Yes,
with his opinion on the death of Gwen Stacy.
And the shortened version is.
Yeah, that's not going to be my catchphrase, Mike. It's not as funny as you think it is.
Oh, it's funny.
It's not though.
I'm gonna have to go back and get it and turn it into a sound drop. Okay, maybe I won't.
You don't have a sound drop of me punching you in the balls if you do that.
For you, sir, anything.
Okay, so they also had Joe Simon on, which was amazing. Joe Simon was creator of Captain America.
Yes.
He's, you know, he's an older dude now. He looks old. They had Carmen Infantino, which was amazing, a longtime editor at DC Comics.
Right. Well, I think it's funny. Captain America pretty much just lasted through the war slightly past. And they let the book die. And then what, they brought him back?
64.
In 64. Start of the Cold War.
Yeah, I just read something. And I wish I could give the person credit for it, but I don't remember where I read it. Talking about how Marvel time sort of really ruins Captain America's character. Because, you know, he's a man out of time.
Right.
But at the time, you know, he disappeared in 1945 at the end of World War II, the end of World War II.
Right.
And he came back in 1964. It's about 20 years later. So he's, you know, he's younger than everyone his generation. He's, you know, a young guy in his 20s where all his peers are in their 40s, right?
Right.
But now, as it goes on, you know, the Marvel timeline's constantly shifting forward. So everything that's happened has happened, you know, relative to today's date.
Right. So he disappears in 45.
Yeah, he doesn't come back until post 9/11, essentially, at this point.
In which?
He's Buck Rogers.
So to speak.
Well, yeah, it's
Steve,
you know,
Rogers, 60. Buck Rogers, same thing.
Yeah, the time difference is so great that, you know, it's gone from, you know, everyone that he knew is 20 years older than him to everyone he knew is long dead.
Either long dead or about to die.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at the you know, the Captain America movie, which has them finding him in 2012.
Right. And of course they forget the, you know, and then make the one fatal mistake where they play the one baseball game and it's like, no, where am I? Because I was at that game.
Yeah. Yeah, That's the big problem with Captain America, though, is that, you know, things have changed so much that it becomes less man out of time, fish out of water, more, you know, Buck Rogers, man from a different era.
Right.
which are they're two completely different stories.
Well, imagine as we keep going, let's say 50 years from now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It only gets worse.
Yeah, when we're now talking Cap is, you know,
yeah,
the only person from the time period.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the only person who could give first-hand account of. It's going to be interesting.
At some point, it goes from being Man Out of Time to Buck Rogers. At some point, it becomes Encino Man.
Yeah.
Which it's emblematic of a larger problem with comics is that they refuse to give up characters. I mean, it's part of the reason why comics are so great, because you can still read about Spider-Man after 50 years.
Right.
But after 50 years, isn't that enough? Isn't it time to move on to a new character?
Right.
But, well, the properties are so valuable that they're never going to say, well, we're done publishing Spider-Man.
Right.
But, I mean, I think everything that there is to be said about Spider-Man has been said already.
Well, at this point in time, when you go to reboot Captain America, how long before he's now a Vietnam vet instead of a World War II vet?
Never.
You can't do it.
You can't move Captain America. You can't send Captain America to Vietnam, because the sort of patriotism that would cause them to dress someone up in, you know, the red, white, and blue and call him Captain America and send him overseas to fight a war was not there in Vietnam. It just doesn't work.
Right. But
you would have to be out of your earthly mind to think that, you know, LBJ would dress someone up as Captain America and send him to Vietnam. It only works in World War II.
But give it 10 more years, we could possibly do Desert Storm.
Well, for Iron Man, you can update them like that. And I think Iron Man was, you know, the latest update was, you know, in Afghanistan.
Right. Yeah, but like I said, you know, with Captain America, I mean, look at the patriotism that came out of, you know, Desert Storm when we went in with that.
I don't see it. Desert Storm lasted like 3 days.
It was a little longer than that.
It's just not long enough. You just can't do it. You can't update Captain America's story to take him out of World War II. He has to be World War II. It's like Magneto has to be a Holocaust survivor, and Frank Castle has to be a Vietnam vet. Captain America has to be in World War II.
Well, then do we go to the aspect of, if we're going to keep telling the Captain America story in the future, it's more like a Sergeant Rock type feel, and it stays in the World War II time period?
No,
and then,
they're just...
And then when you're
you know,
in the series, you freeze them?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go back. Well, I guess they are, because they're doing an Invaders series, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Captain America, Namor, the Human Torch in World War II. I mean, yeah, it's you do Captain America. They're not going to go back to any extent and do Captain America in World War II any more than they've done on the movie. There's literally nothing left to say about Captain America in that era.
Right.
I mean, well, it's a dead end. But the problem is it's the time when he's unfrozen. The
right.
World War II stuff is fine, but the further into the future his unfreezing happens, the stranger, you know, it gets. The stranger the world is to him.
Right. Now, Steranko, talking about his history before comics and then how he got into it, that was a fun history.
Did you not know that Jim Steranko was an escape artist?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's a pretty commonly known fact.
And the one picture they
showed
of
Michael Chabon, what's that?
I said in the one picture they showed of him, he also looked like he was a Elvis impersonator as well.
Jim Steranko is still rocking the pompadour.
Hey,
it works for him.
It's TCB, baby. TCB.
He's got that pompadour. He is going to ride that thing for the rest of his life, and it works for him. I'm not even 100% sure that's still a real pompadour. That could very well be a wig.
Well, I loved how, you know, when he had his meeting with Stan Lee, they go, "What do you want to do?" And he was shown the wall
of yeah.
every comic, and he picked the worst one and said, "I want that one."
And that's exactly what Jack Kirby did at DC too.
It was Nick Fury.
And actually the reason that Jack Kirby picked Jimmy Olsen was not only was it DC's lowest selling book, but it was the only book that didn't have a creative team.
Okay.
So Kirby said, "I'll take this one so no one has to lose their job so I can work here." And Strange Tales was the same way. He did Nick Fury, and before he started doing Nick Fury, Steve Ditko was doing Doctor Strange and Nick Fury. He just took Ditko kept doing the Doc Strange feature in Strange Tales.
Right. Well, I think it was he talked about he did the one book that had the three pages that were silent.
Yeah.
And yeah, he said it was written that way, and that the publisher said, "Well, we're only going to pay you for the 17 pages," and pretty much bullied the guy into saying, "No, okay, yeah. we'll pay you for the other three as well."
I wouldn't want to fuck with Steranko. Have you followed him on Twitter?
Yes.
He told this one story about when he was being bullied as a kid, where. The one kid came after him with a knife, and Steranko had a zip gun that he made in art class and was going to shoot the kid.
Wow.
And basically the kid with the knife pissed his pants and Steranko pulled out the gun.
Well, coming out of superheroes, I know they talked quite a bit about Kirby. News today was... the estate or the heirs of Jack Kirby were shot down the appeal to try and terminate things with Disney and Marvel to keep them from doing anything with their franchise, with his characters.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing in the copyright law. I think if... this had been a smaller company that Jack Kirby had worked for, his estate would have prevailed.
Right.
Because they did have a solid case. There was a provision in the Copyright Act when it was extended that if you wrote work for hire, right?
Correct.
Which is what Kirby did. When the original copyright term was set to expire, when the work would have gone into the public domain before the copyright law was extended, at the date that it would go into the public domain, you can reclaim your rights.
Right.
Because essentially when you were working for work for hire, you sold the rights for, I believe it was 46 years. It was 2 23-year copyright terms provided that the copyright was extended.
Right.
So, what happened was, you know, if the copyright law, if the copyright term had not been extended, the characters that Jack Kirby had created would now be in the public domain.
Right.
Which is why they said, you know, we're going to extend this, right? Because when, you know, when they sold the rights to the characters or created them as work for hire, the term that the company had originally bought them for was 46 years. And they said, you know, after 46 years, creators, and I think the Kirby estate was probably entitled to. And right. I think they probably should have prevailed. But Disney and Marvel is a huge company. And, well, you know, it's Disney's the whole reason that the copyright term got extended to begin with.
Right.
Mickey Mouse was heading towards the public domain. And so Sonny put up and said, you know, we can't let Mickey Mouse be in the public domain. People will sell Mickey Mouse clothing and Disney won't get profit from it. You know, Disney's had 70-80 years to you know, profit off of Mickey Mouse merchandise, and people would still buy Disney Mickey Mouse merchandise.
Right. Well,
it's,
I know.
You know, it's about time that the copyrights expire. If copyrights never expire, you know, the works of Shakespeare would still be under copyright. And do you think anyone today deserves to be profiting off of the works of William Shakespeare?
No.
I mean, you know, in an exclusive monopolistic manner.
Right. Well, obviously, Kirby's not the only one with this. The heirs to the Superman creators,
Siegel and Schuster,
they're going through. They were going through the same thing with Warner Brothers. I don't remember how that one turned out.
I believe one of them did reclaim the. The reason that the Siegel and Schuster case was different was because Superman was not created as work for hire. And it's well documented that Superman wasn't created as work for hire.
But
they created Action Comics 1 and then shopped it around.
Right.
So
well,
if
you remember in the first episode, they talk about how they were given up, or they gave up those rights.
Yeah.
No, they ended up giving up those rights.
Yeah, but it's the same thing that I was just talking about. They gave up those rights, but that was, at the time, a limited term. It
right.
was, you know, when National Comics bought the rights to Superman, you could only hold the copyright on a work for around 50 years. And the Siegel and Schuster estates did file their suits on time. I think it might have been Siegel's was filed on time and Schuster's wasn't. But they did reclaim the copyrights to Action Comics 1.
Okay.
But the court decided that everything after Action Comics, from Action Comics 2 forward, National kept the copyright on.
Right.
Including the right to use the characters that were introduced in Action Comics 1. It's a whole... The copyright law is a mess because it doesn't expire.
I think Bob Kane's like one of the few from that time period who did not give up the rights.
Bob Kane didn't do anything to begin with. It really... That was the one thing that really irritated me about that is they talked about how Bob Kane created Batman. Bill Finger created Batman. And Bob Kane took the credit for it.
Yeah.
And have you ever heard Jim Steranko's Bob Kane story?
No.
Basically, Bob Kane was a dick to Steranko. And I believe this was at San Diego Comic-Con, and I believe it was in the 70s or 80s. But basically, Bob Kane was not only an asshole with him, he like grabbed his face and squeezed his cheeks, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
So, Steranko didn't do anything or say anything, and it pissed him off so much that the next day he walked up to Bob Kane in the middle of the convention floor and slapped him across the face as hard as he could.
Wow.
Like, no one liked Bob Kane, and the thing is, Bob Kane was he was a pose swiper at the time too, and even, you know, almost all of Bob Kane's Batman art you can find as a different character the exact same panel from an earlier comic. He
right.
basically window boxed the artwork and drew the Batman details over
right.
other artists. And yeah, he essentially stole the credit for everything that Bill Finger did to create Batman.
Well, I loved how they did the comparison of Batman and the Shadow.
Yeah. Yeah, Batman was essentially the Shadow.
Yeah.
As a comic book character.
Yeah. So, yeah, check out Superheroes. It's definitely worth picking out, you know, worth watching. I mean, it's an amazing show.
Yeah, you get to see a lot of comic book legends talk about comics. And when you get to the third episode, you can see something that I have suspected but never had actual proof of for years, and that is that Todd McFarlane is stupid. I mean, it's not anything specific that he says. It's just if you listen to Todd McFarlane talk, he's not a smart person.
True.
He lacks intelligence. Like,
yeah.
on the level that it's almost disturbing that he gets, you know, he's made far more money as a writer than he did as an artist.
Right.
With Spawn, which was... I don't know how Spawn got to be the biggest book of the Image boom. I mean, you know, I guess it was better than Youngblood.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed the Youngblood. I thought it, I mean, I was drawn to Youngblood before Spawn.
Savage Dragon was the quality book from Image, and Valentino's books were good. Wildcats was okay.
It was okay, yeah.
I mean, Wildcats was X-Men.
Right.
That's the thing about Wildcats. It was X-Men. There was nothing else. Spawn was just, no. And Youngblood was the same thing. Youngblood was the Teen Titans.
Right.
You know,
well, if it wasn't Teen Titans.
Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld got left in, you know, the most famous books they'd done. Liefeld did Teen Titans and X-Factor, or X-Force, rather. And
I saw Youngblood as more like Outsiders.
The Outsiders had one at the time had one book in 1977 that lasted like 3 years.
No, I'm talking like Batman and the Outsiders.
Yeah, Batman and the Outsiders only lasted for like 3 years. It was not.
Yeah, it was reintroduced in the 80s. Late 80s.
It still didn't last that long, though.
No.
It was definitely the Teen Titans and X-Force, which, you know, were both books that Liefeld had worked on. And Wildcats was essentially the X-Men, which is where Jim Lee cut his teeth at Marvel. And even Spawn, you can see how Spawn is, you know, a sort of a dark take on Spider-Man with a lot of supernatural mumbo-jumbo thrown in.
Right.
And the Savage Dragon is unlike anything else.
Right.
You know, out of the seven Image founders, Larson was the best.
Right.
He was the best artist. He was the best writer.
Did you catch this past weekend that they started filming Batman versus Superman?
I'd heard that. Did they actually start filming it?
There is footage out there of them filming a football game between Gotham City College and I think it's Metropolis University.
Okay, so it's more like incidental photography and not principal photography.
Correct. Zack Snyder was there. I guess this football game is going to have something revolving around it, similar to the Bane scenario.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. And this time, it's probably not even going to have the Pittsburgh Steelers in it.
It's funny. The Gotham City team, Gotham City College, their uniforms are black and gold.
Yeah.
So now it's almost that impression that
Gotham's supposed to be Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's now Gotham. And maybe. Metropolis is New York. Which I always was under the impression until Superman the movie that Metropolis was always Chicago.
Metropolis was Toronto, dude.
Really?
That was where the visual design of Toronto came from, or of Metropolis came from. At least from Siegel and Schuster. They based it on Toronto. Because Toronto is like New York, but clean.
Yeah. See, I always imagine Chicago.
I don't know why. Location-wise, Metropolis was in Kansas.
Right. Well,
and
for me...
Gotham, I believe, is in New Jersey.
Well, for me, it was always... You know, I went to Metropolis, Illinois, and saw the whole Batman thing that they... Or Superman mock, you know...
Yeah.
Tourist traps, whatnot. So I'm like, okay, well, if it's in Illinois, then it's got to be Metropolis. It's got to be Chicago.
Yeah. Now, Metropolis was based on Toronto, and Gotham was like sort of vaguely based on New York.
Okay.
Like, I think for the most part, everyone assumed that they were both New York City.
Yeah.
Like, sort of uptown and downtown New York. But, like, Metropolis would be, like, uptown Manhattan, and Gotham would be the Bronx.
Right.
But, yeah, I believe the locations. I believe Metropolis is in Kansas, and, which is funny, no one has a southern accent.
True. Well, Kansas not. It'd be more Midwestern.
It's not Alabama, but everyone has the TV accent in Metropolis, I guess.
Right.
And Gotham is in New Jersey.
Well, the rumor was on Monday that Wonder Woman might make an appearance in this film.
That would probably be the smart thing to do.
And when asked,
because considering most of the comments about this movie have been, when are you going to make a Wonder Woman movie?
Right. Well, when Claudia Eller from Variety asked whether the film would introduce other DC heroes, such as Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and The Flash, to reunite part of the Justice League, which at this point in time would be to create the Justice League, Greg Silverman, Warner Brothers president of creative development, took the idea of Wonder Woman and ran with it. His quote is, "We've been doing a lot of thinking for years about how to best use all those characters, and we love them. Wonder Woman is an amazing character, and I think it's a great opportunity for both box office success, but also to have an amazingly powerful female superhero." Then pull
my
the trigger
problem,
already. Do the film.
My problem with, well, they fired Joss Whedon, and there's really no one else that in Hollywood who really gets how to write women outside of romantic comedies. And I'm gonna lay this on our audience here. I'm going. Any one of you could potentially be the next big Wonder Woman writer, because I'm gonna tell you the secret for writing believable women. Okay. Are you ready for this? You ready to hear this?
Sure.
The way you write women is write them like everyone else, because they're just fucking people.
Right. Well,
there's no trick. You just write women the same way you would write any other character.
Go back and listen to our interview with Gail Simone. She mentioned she was even brought on to help write a script.
Yeah.
Or at least a treatment. And you know what? Do that. Bring her on. She's probably one of the better writers for Wonder Woman from the past. Bring her on to do it. Look what she's done with Batgirl. Look what she's doing with Red Sonja. You want a strong Wonder Woman script, get Gail Simone as one of your writers.
Here's my question about Gail Simone. Why is Gail Simone only allowed to write female characters?
I think it's
been... that was someone else. She has written male characters in the past.
Right. I think it's been her choice at this point in time to go after female characters.
That would make sense. It just seems like lately it's like, oh, we have a female superhero. Let's get Gail Simone. She can do other stuff.
Right.
It's like, when they have a black writer and they're like, oh yeah, you want to do Static or, wow. There's so many black superheroes that I just blanked entirely.
Luke Cage, Black Panther.
Luke Cage, yeah.
Falcon.
Black
Lightning.
Yeah, Black Lightning was the one I was looking for. Why do so many black comic book characters have lightning powers?
Don't know.
It's like a disproportionate amount.
Yeah.
You know, just you don't have to only let the female writers write women and the black writers write black guys and you know, you don't make Jim Lee only write Asian characters, although I'm sure if there was an all Asian X-Men book, they would probably get Jim Lee to write it.
Right. Let's see, Gail Simone. She worked for Bongo Comics, scripting many of the Simpsons.
Yeah.
She did
Nightwing for a while, I believe.
Following her work for Simpsons, she entered the mainstream with a run on Marvel's Deadpool. When Deadpool was canceled and relaunched as Agent X, she continued as a writer there.
Oh, Jesus. I feel so bad for her now. That was so terrible. It wasn't her fault.
After the dispute, Simone continued as writer, but eventually left the series after a conflict with the series editor. She returned to pen the concluding arc, some months after the series' initial cancellation. After the dispute with Marvel, she moved on to DC, where she where she was given Birds of Prey, starting with issue 56.
Okay.
Simone took over Action Comics after writer Chuck Austin, with John Byrne penciling.
Chuck Austin is like the most hated man in comics for a while.
Simone continued on other projects, including Villains United, part of the Infinite Crisis crossover.
Yeah.
In which she revitalized the Catman character.
She wrote Secret Six, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, Secret Six was amazing.
She also did a brief stint on The Legion and a Rose and Thorn limited series. She also wrote an Atom series. And Welcome to Tranquility for Wildstorm.
I don't know why I thought she did Nightwing. I must have been thinking of Devin Grayson.
And then in April 2007, it was announced that she would be the new regular writer for the third volume of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So, and then 2010, she was named as the writer for Birds of Prey under the Brightest Day banner.
I think we've got enough of Gail Simone's Wikipedia page.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading.
That's enough background on Gail Simone. Yeah, the point is,
let her write the movie.
Yeah, well, let someone write the movie.
Let her write it.
Let Sam Raimi write it, Jesus.
Eh.
He could do it.
He could. I wouldn't be happy about it.
It would be a little campy.
Yeah,
but
that's why,
you know,
that'd be like saying you have Tim Burton do it.
Have Tim Burton do it. Have someone do it. DC's gonna end up doing a Justice League movie that's The Watchmen.
Yeah.
And it's not 1986.
No.
I mean, that's the tone of these DC movies, is The Watchmen. And I, you know, Zack Snyder directed The Watchmen, so it's kind of not a surprise. I mean, even Alan Moore has said, Alan Moore doesn't think that The Watchmen holds up to this day, just because it's so based in the world of the 1980s. And, you know, the sort of, the way the world was going and the way comic books were going at the time, too.
Right. Definitely. Watchmen is definitely a period piece. It is the late 80s alternate universe.
Yeah, where Nixon is still president.
Correct. Watergate never happened. It's, you know, and it was still in the midst of the Cold War.
Yeah. A lot of the Cold War anxiety.
Exactly. Does it work today? Not really.
It's still a good. It's still a good.
It's a good book.
It's a good read. But.
But for today, it's
yeah.
For today, it's overrated.
See, I don't know if I'd say it's overrated per se. I mean, it's still, you know, it's very good. It's the thing is, people miss the point of it. And, you know, when people started to copy The Watchmen, they just said, oh, it's really violent. We should be really violent and morally ambiguous. Ambiguous. And, no, that's not the point at all.
No. No, it's not. So, from here, you had something about Ben Kingsley.
Oh, yes, Ben Kingsley. And, you know, our good friend Liz Gamaz actually said the same thing I was going to say about this on Twitter. They announced that Ben Kingsley said he's doing another project with Marvel. And the first thing that came to my mind and what Liz said on Twitter was it'll probably be a Marvel one-shot.
Okay. Which project's this? Or is it not announced?
He just said he's doing something else with Marvel.
Oh, righty then.
So my guess is that the one-shot on probably the Captain America DVD will feature Ben Kingsley's Mandarin character.
Okay. Kind of like an origin story?
Yeah, that's my guess.
How he got the rings or whatever?
He didn't have any rings, dude. He saw Iron Man 3.
Okay.
He was just an actor who was addicted to heroin.
Alrighty then.
You did see Iron Man 3, right?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, shit. Sorry, dude.
No, it's fine.
That's the big, you know, not only did that movie come out over the summer, it's been out on DVD for a while. I figured you'd seen it by now. Yeah, that's the big plot twist in the movie. So, you know, spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Oops.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley is a heroin addicted actor.
Well, so he's doing the one shot.
Yeah. So it's probably going to be about his actor character before he became the Mandarin, or maybe after Iron Man 3, something happens with him. It's you know, there's no point in speculating on what exactly it'll be. But right. He said he's doing more with Marvel, and because of the nature of his character, you know, not being a supervillain, just being a front for the real villain.
Right.
Yeah, it's likely a one-shot is the only thing that makes sense. It wouldn't make sense for him to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's not like he's going to show up as a supervillain.
Right. Have you heard about Nintendo snapping having the problems with the Wii U and their whole new repackaging with, was it Super Mario? Some Super Mario title will help bring it back to life.
Well, it couldn't hurt.
Well, they announced this week the Wii production's over.
Yeah, I thought this was where you were going when you started talking about Jack Kirby, and you were like, speaking of Kirby, I thought that was going to be your segue into the Wii.
Well, and it's funny, my Wii's been working fine, and then today, unable to read disc, yet everything else works fine on it. I'm like, really? Huh.
You can still get them in stores.
Right.
And, I mean, you could probably pick one up on eBay for next to nothing.
Probably.
I got an Xbox 360 for like $70, like last year.
Right. I like my Wii. There's games I want to play.
The Wii U, is the Wii U backwards compatible? I haven't looked into it.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Nintendo's strategy is all sorts of fucked up. I mentioned I've been playing Pokemon this week because the new game is out, and it's amazing. When the last Pokemon game came out, I was like, I'm not buying this, and I didn't buy it until very recently. I bought it used from a friend. I said the only way I will buy another Pokemon game in my entire life, because I'm an adult man, is if they do a cel-shaded 3D Pokemon game. That I will buy, because it would look amazing. And that's exactly what they did. And okay. It's fun. But where I'm going with this is, if you buy a digital game on your 3DS, it is not tied to your account. It's tied to the system. If you, lose your 3DS, it's not an easy process to just log in and re-download the game.
Right.
You have to, call Nintendo and work shit out. It's ridiculous. They don't know what they're doing. It's becoming increasingly obvious that they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm afraid I might have to send this one in for repair, and I don't think it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, well, the cost to repair those, you could probably buy a new one.
Yeah. The system is backward compatible with Wii and Wii U games.
Okay, so not GameCube games. Do you have a lot of GameCube games?
No, I have none. Just Wii.
I still have my GameCube, and I have one game, which is Metal Gear Solid, The Twin Snakes.
Okay.
Which was amazing. People give that game shit, but it was great. I mean, it was perhaps... I think the one complaint that I hear is that it's too easy.
Right.
Have you ever played a Metal Gear Solid game?
A long time ago.
What did you play, 1 or 2? Or PlayStation or PS2?
I think it was PS2.
Okay. The first Metal Gear Solid game, which Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes is a remake of, has a much more limited... how do I want to put this? A more limited move set.
Right.
You can't control the camera. It's just the controls are more limited in what you can do with your character. They really opened it up in Metal Gear Solid 2, and essentially Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes is Metal Gear Solid on the Metal Gear Solid 2 engine, but they didn't increase the difficulty, really, so you have all these new things that you can do to outwit the AI in the game. So it is a little easier.
Right.
But it's fun.
Right. Now, you've upgraded to the new OS, right? With your
for
iPad?
What?
For your
yeah,
iPad?
Yeah, my iPad, yeah. iOS 7.
Noticing battery issues?
No. My battery lasts as long as it used to.
Okay. Well, have you ever been places where your battery's about to go and you're like, crap, I wish I had a charger?
I probably have.
Well,
I mean, I can see that being a thing that happens, but I mean, usually with my iPad, I charge it overnight and it lasts the whole day.
If
I went to a convention or something, maybe it might be an issue.
Well, going to the parks, I have that issue with the phone. It's like, okay, yeah, go find some place where I could charge it for a little bit or just not use it.
Well, the iPhone's battery life isn't as long as the iPad, and I have an iPad 2, which is, the longest of the iPad battery lives.
Right. Well, our friends at Mimoco have started a Kickstarter account, or Kickstarter project, for what they're calling, instead of the MimoBot, which is the USB drive.
Yeah.
The battery bot. And the battery bot will be the world's first and only character-based rechargeable backup battery.
Huh.
For smartphones, tablets, and mobile devices.
If we have USB charging lithium ion battery powered sex toys, this could get really interesting.
I'm sure it would.
the Mimo vibrator. The Mimo braider.
I doubt we
get them on the phone. Get them on the phone right now. Mimo, I need to like trademark that. The Mimo braider.
The Mimo braider. Right now they're gonna have 10 designs you could choose from, of the primary battery bot styles. One's a Kickstarter exclusive. It's called Terry Labatt. Then you have Shocky Shark, Polly Alley, which is an owl, Larry Lobster, Turbo Turtle, Galaxor, Polly Panda, Ray D8, Psy, and Power Cow, Power Kawa, which is a cow. Okay. Features on this.
Wait. The Mimo Braider, Dildo Danny.
What's that?
Dildo Danny, the Mimo Braider.
Jeez.
I need to work for these people.
Features and tech specs. It will be a 5,200 milliamp hours and may increase with stretch goals.
Okay.
Cell type is lithium ion battery. The input is 5 volt, 1 amp, micro USB. Output is 5 volt, 2.1 amp, USB. Life cycle, 500 full charges.
That seems low.
Seems like it.
I think phones get thousands of full charges on the lithium ion battery.
But the way they show this, if you pop the bottom off, you just replace the lithium ion batteries. The rechargeable batteries. Because they're showing lithium ion AA's. AA rechargeable lithium ions.
Huh. Well, yeah.
DC charging time, around 5 hours.
What's the Marvel charging time?
Around 5 hours.
Okay.
Dark Horse, 4.5.
Mm.
Charging and battery indicator is LED light up feet.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, like the MemoBot, how you know it's working is there's on the bottom of the drive, there's on the tail section, there's a little LED icon. So, dimensions.
We can put the LED indicator into the Mimo Braider too. Like it'll have like the head of the cock of the dildo will light up to tell you how much charge is left.
And to think I was going to share this with Evan so he could hear that we're talking
totally
about it.
You're totally going to share this with Evan. He will hire me. This is how I'm going to get my job working for them designing vibrators.
Evan, if you do end up listening to this, no. I am a huge fan.
I'm not a fan. Do you think I offer to make vibrators for just anyone?
I'm not the one who derailed this part. With me being in entertainment, I'm the one who's usually minds in the gutter. Not this time. The dimensions, 3.5 inches by 2 inches by 1.5 inches. So, not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah, the vibrator's going to have to be bigger than that, I think. None of those sounds long enough.
Wait, 5.1 ounces.
Okay, that's pretty light.
Yeah. Suggested retail price, $70 to $80. Which is on par with, like the Zag Spark and some of the others. It'll be compatible with most 5-volt devices that are powered by USB. The iPhone, the iPad Mini, the iPad, the iPod, Samsung's Galaxy Note and Nexus.
It's also compatible with e-cigarettes, which are 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that are USB chargeable.
Probably.
Most which likely. Just, yeah.
The Nintendo DS.
Yeah.
The Google Glass, the Drop Cam, GoPro, Boombotics, Jawbone, Jawbox, the Pill, TomTom GPS, the Pill, and like TomTom GPS.
Yeah.
So,
those also plug into the car cigarette adapter, though.
Yeah. But say you're out hiking.
Okay.
And
if I'm out hiking, I am more worried about the person with the gun marching me out into the woods.
Okay, unlike you, get some people who are hiking, instead of trying to rely on maps and whatnot, they can now use this as a charge to make sure they're getting to the right area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did or get
my,
out.
My GPS device has a walking mode, and I was like, who the fuck has walked anywhere since 1927?
So, in the future, so, you know, we got the Core series, which is what we talked about earlier. They are also looking at possibly having these get into their licensed properties, you know, Star Wars, Hello Kitty, Transformers, My Little Pony, Adventure Time, South Park, Star Trek. I would love to see one of these done as R2-D2.
That would be pretty cool. Or Eric Cartman would be cool.
Eric Cartman would be awesome.
The Hello Kitty one could charge your Hello Kitty vibrator.
If they do DC, Static Shock.
Yeah.
Static would be awesome.
Or Electro.
Yeah.
The Shocker.
They don't have a license with Marvel.
Oh, okay.
So, Einstein would be cool.
Tesla.
That would be sweet too. So, they're...
Oh, no, you know what would be awesome? Thomas Edison's elephant Stampy.
Yes.
Or was it Stampy? No, Topsy. It was Topsy.
Topsy, yeah.
Yeah, Topsy the elephant Mimo charger. That would be amazing. Do it.
So, let's see. The goals. Where are they?
There wasn't there like
go. Okay. Dollar or more, you get the Mimo Desk Digital Suite, which you'll get the Mimo Desk personalization suite of icons, avatars, wallpapers, and screensavers for your digital devices, based around the battery bot.
Yeah, give us the highlights of the pledge levels, Mike.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
The $25 pledge or more, you get the Mimo Power. It was their first go. It almost looks like a battery bank. It's another backup battery bank, but it's only 2,600 milliamps.
Okay.
And it kind of has a... like a lip balm or, they got pictures of it on their site or on this Kickstarter. Spray on, yeah. Dynamite, lifesavers. They got wands, pill power, or it looks like an index finger, you know, a finger of some sort.
Pill power and a middle finger?
Pill power and a finger, like a zombie finger.
Yeah. Okay, and you think my vibrator idea is...
Okay, so maybe you're not that far off.
thank you.
But you'll get one of those. They call it the Crayon, Dynamite, Bot Dog, Dube Tube, Bot Burger, Spray On, or Power Servers.
Dube Tube?
Dube Tube. D-O-O-B-T-U-B-E.
And Pill Power.
Well, that's what it said on the packaging said Pill Power.
Okay, yeah.
Or the label on it. So I don't know which one.
We need to call Evan and start production of the Memo Braiders, because it seems like it would fit right in with all the. Does the Dube Tube have just like a big pot leaf on it?
I have no clue.
Like on a TV set?
No. It looks like a cigarette. Wait, what's the looks like a
hand rolled cigarette?
Yes, with like a stoner face on it.
Okay.
And it will also come with with the accessories. Universal charging cable with multiple tips on it and a velvet pouch.
Awesome.
40 or more, you get an original battery bot, early bot special. You'll get one of the first 250 hand-numbered original battery bot units.
So you save $30?
They say 43% off the $70 price. It will also come with cables and a pouch. And will also include the original battery bot reward level above. Yeah, the.
Okay. Dildo Danny comes with a pouch too. But, you know, it's a different kind of pouch. It's not for keeping your batteries in.
Hey, no. $50 or more, you get a licensed battery bot, which is 38% off the $80 price. So I guess the original is going to be $70, and the licensed ones are going to be $80.
Okay.
Well, makes sense. You got to take care of the licensing. It will also include, you know, be one of the first of the 250 off the line. And will come with cables and a pouch.
Okay.
A second 50 or more, you get an original battery bot, with the cables and the pouch. Universal charge cable with multiple tips and a...
Dildo Danny has multiple tips.
And a velvet pouch.
And a velvety pouch.
I'm going to get an email from Evan going, please remove us from your site, period. We don't care how good you've been to us.
Licensed Memo sex toys.
Oh, God, it's going to be the robot off tripping the rift. What was the...
No, it's going to be the fruit fucker from Penny Arcade is what it's going to be.
The robot from Robot Chicken? The humping robot?
It could be the humping robot. There's a lot of money to be made, I think, with, like, My Little Pony sex toys.
Jeez.
There's some really creepy My Little Pony fans in the world.
Yeah. 60 or more, you get the licensed battery bot. 100 or more, you get the battery bot Memo Pack. You get the original battery bot, a 16 gig Memo bot, a Memo Power 2600, and the Memo bot is one of your choice, but 16 gig capacity.
Okay.
110 or more is the licensed one with the 16 gig Memo bot of your choice and the Memo Power 2600. 200 or more, you get a key to the Memo Vault, which I would love access to. You get access to pick a, you know, super rare or a sold out flash drive from years past. Like for me, I would be going after like the Luke Skywalker and X-Wing pilot outfit. Would be awesome. One I would go after. Or the original Chewbacca.
How much do you have to pledge to get access to Dildo Danny's sex dungeon?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We need to call and ask. This is $1 million idea, Mike. You know, if people don't think this is funny, this is going to be a huge Nakamura.
Oh, you're killing me.
Dude, have you heard the term? You're in entertainment. You know what a Nakamura is, don't you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's what this is going to be if this is not funny. If this first joke doesn't land.
300 or more, you get an addition to the finished battery body of your choice, a one-of-a-kind pre-production paint sample of your choice before it is approved for mass production. Imperfections and all. Battery bot style and
so if you pledge enough, they give you one that's fucked up.
You get one of the essentially a prototype.
I get it. It's a prototype.
400 or more, you get a collector set of 10 battery bots.
I wonder if you can make them like fight to the death. If you have 10, can you have like? Because they're USB charging and they're USB chargers. You can plug them into each other.
Could see what happens.
Yeah, they would probably blow up.
Pledge of 3,000 or more. Boston PAX East Memo Experience. Visit us at our Boston headquarters and be a guest at PAX East. April 11th through 13th, 2014. Airfare, hotel, and PAX East badges for you and a friend are included, as well as hanging out with Teamoco, the staff of Mimoco. Round trip airfare for two, maximum value $400 per ticket. Hotel accommodations, one hotel room with two queen beds for three nights, and 2 3-day badges for PAX East. Gotcha. Plus a key to the Mimo Vault. Now it kicks up even more. $6,000.
For $6,000, it better have blowjobs.
$6,000, San Diego Comic-Con experience. You get airfare, hotel, and Comic-Con badges for you and a friend, as well as fun times hanging out with the Mimoco staff. Includes two round trip airfare tickets for two travelers, maximum value $500. Really? It costs more than that to go from here to from Orlando to there.
Well, you know, don't spend the $6,000. I'm pretty sure you could get to Comic-Con for less than $6,000.
True.
Like I said, for $6,000, it better come with blowjobs. And this goes for every Kickstarter. You know, when you get to a certain level, it's enough.
Right.
Pledge. It's like, you know, if you give Zach Braff $10,000, he'll come to your house and eat a sandwich with you. You know, you have to provide the sandwich. Bring your own fucking sandwich, Zach Braff.
Pledge $10,000 or more. Design your own. And it's limited to three backers. Work with the staff to custom design and produce your own run of battery bot backup chargers.
Okay, Mike. I need to borrow $10,000. I'm going to make Dildo Danny a reality.
Don't have it.
Damn. We're going to have to rob a bank. Where do they have banks?
I don't know.
Do my banking on the internet.
So, $10,000 compared to, say, what, $80 million, which is the number claimed by Comixology.
Oh, yeah, okay. Comixology. Comixology, 80 million books in 10 months, which means 8 million books a month.
Yeah.
Print comic sales, about 6.5 million books a month.
I don't know. I mean, really? These numbers can't be right.
What do you mean?
It took how long for them to get to 100 million digital issues?
Yeah.
Downloaded, and now they're claiming 8 million per month?
Yeah.
And overtaking analog or the, you know, hard issues?
Yeah.
The retailers?
Comixology sells more than print, according to Comixology's numbers.
Wow. But they also say, too, a new issue of The Walking Dead could account for 50% of their downloads in a month.
Yeah, well, a lot of people buy The Walking Dead. Robert Kirkman's freaking millionaire.
Yeah, if he wasn't already from the TV show. I think the TV show is what spurned the all of a sudden surge with the comic.
Yeah, how long ago did they say that, though?
What, the 50%?
Yeah.
It's September 22nd this month.
I don't know.
That's
because,
when that was brought up.
Comixology used to be, the rough estimate was 10% of print sales, and now, you know, back of the envelope, it's 110%.
Yeah. Now, I understand, you know, it's been part of the push for tablet sales and smartphone sales that, hey, look, you can read comic books on these now.
Yeah, and magazines in general.
Right. But it, and
that was,
I know,
one of the problems with the original Kindle was, you know, it was great for text, but, you know, it doesn't do newspapers, magazines, comics very well.
And we, you know, when we talked to Chris Daniels last week, I mean, he was saying, what, he had 40 short boxes?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking his collection to over 7,000 comics just in short boxes.
It's alone. Over 9,000!
He probably does have over 9,000. But can you?
Like, do you not watch Dragon Ball?
No.
You've never seen Dragon Ball Z?
No.
Okay, then you wouldn't have gotten that joke.
No, sorry. Apparently I missed it. But no, it's... But can you imagine now the amount of digital comics he has under his account?
Yeah, we passed for his password.
No. No. It's incredible. You know, I know myself, I'm nearing, if I haven't already surpassed it, I'm nearing close to 1,000 on my account alone.
Yeah, digital comics are amazing. They don't take up any space.
Nope. Well, they do when you download them to your device.
Well, yeah, they take up, I meant physical space in Meat World.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, most you don't of have it, a garage full of digital comics.
If you go through the internet to read them, you're reading them off the server, not off your drive.
Yeah, you can either download them or stream them, essentially.
On your phone and tablet, you download them to your device to read, and then you delete it, but it's still there in your archive.
Yeah. You can re-download it whenever you want.
It's... Since most of the artists now are doing everything digitally, it just looks so much sharper. Yeah, I can see where it's... Where they're taking over. I just... I'm just not sure of the numbers.
Why would they lie? I mean, the numbers Comixology put out. And the numbers for print sales are the numbers that Diamond put out. I mean, there are comic sales in places that aren't served by Diamond, but they're, you know, very minuscule.
Right. I just don't know if both groups are inflating numbers. You know, like a sporting, you know, sports team. Oh, attendance tonight is...
I think that might be fraud.
87,000.
Yeah. You can't lie to investors like that about sales. And,
true.
You know, they are potentially, you know, an IPO.
True.
I don't believe they're a publicly traded company yet, but they're looking that way, and it would be, you know, fraudulent for them to lie about that if they were.
Well, if they go publicly traded, it might be worth picking up.
Yeah. I don't doubt it, because the kids under 10 even, like, read books in books?
My daughter does. My daughter will.
Yeah, that's because you buy them for her and give them to her. She'd
right.
probably rather just use the iPad. Like, if you bought her an iPad and gave it to her, I don't think she'd use anything else.
Possibly.
I don't have any great nostalgia for print. Some people do. People, you know, they like to have the physical comics, and they like the smell of books. I think it's very romanticized, but it's, you know, it's the content that I care about. If I can get the content on this, which, I mean, you know, if you had an iPad in the 1600s, it would burn you at the stake for witchcraft.
Right. Well, for me, it's one of those. I've talked about
hell.
It in the
if
past.
If you had the iPad in the 1990s, they might burn you at the stake for witchcraft.
True. But yeah, it was okay to watch Captain Picard with something similar to an iPad on Star Trek.
Yeah.
Because that was science fiction.
Yeah,
guess
and
what,
now
folks? It's science
right
fact.
We're living in the future. We don't have flying cars, but.
Now, for me, you know, and I've said it in the past, for me, it's the space issue. I have a 3-year-old. I have a geriatric dog. I don't want books ruined. I don't want books torn apart, you know, by my 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Which, actually, I've taught her well. She's very careful with her books. But... Still, it's the space, and I don't have much room, realistically, to, you know, keep. I mean, my garage right now is a freaking mess, but even after I clean up my garage, I really don't have room to be keeping 40 short boxes or 40 long boxes.
Yeah.
I would rather have the digital. That way I have access to it whenever I want.
Yeah. And if, you know, if your house gets flooded and your iPad is destroyed, you buy another one, boom, sign in. There's your comics.
Exactly. Now, I wish DC and Marvel would release some of the other stuff from the Silver Age. Like, I'm still looking for Gru. I would still love to see the old DC Who's Who come about.
Those are Bronze Age.
What? Gru the Wonder?
Gru. Yeah. This is in the 80s.
I thought that was it was like 80, like mid 80s. Tail
yeah,
end of the silver.
Nah, it's Bronze Age.
Okay, whatever. Still, I would love to see those come out. Yeah, the Who's Who.
Yeah,
line.
Whole backlist is what you're talking about. They're gradually getting to the backlist.
Open it up.
It doesn't really... I mean, there are some production costs available, especially, you know, Comixology does the guided view.
Right.
And that's probably part of it. Part of it is, you know, these comics, unlike, you know, a new comic is produced digitally, essentially.
Right.
All they send the same file to Comixology that they send to the printer. The older comics, you know, would have to be digitally, you know, recreated and cleaned up to an extent that the new comics don't.
Right.
Eventually, we will get all of it. I think most of Uncanny X-Men is available digitally, I believe.
Right.
It starts with the big stuff and it goes to the smaller stuff eventually.
Right. Now, my question is, Marvel Unlimited, is that run by Comixology?
No.
Okay, so Marvel is still selling through Comixology, but then have their own service as well.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any sort of partnership with Marvel Unlimited and Comixology. There doesn't really have to be, but yeah. They let Comixology do the sales of the digital titles, and the streaming all-you-can-eat Marvel Unlimited is Marvel only, as far as I know.
Okay.
And you can't sign up for Marvel Unlimited on your iPad. You have to go to the site. And you can't sign up for it in the app.
Right. Right. Yeah, they offer, essentially there's four different plans. There's the free plan, where you get like one or two books, or I think up to 7 books that you download at a time.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but there's a monthly
Marvel
plan.
Unlimited for free is just like whatever books they have available at the time.
Right.
And so you can't go through the archive.
Monthly plan is $10 a month.
Yeah.
Then there's the annual, which is what, 60?
Yeah, it works out to be cheaper if you have it for the whole year, but it's the upfront price. My problem with Marvel Unlimited is that there are gaps that I think are intentional.
Okay.
Like, if you go to read something, like, say, X-Force, which I'm just picking at random. If you go to read, like, X-Force 1 to 20, they'll have, like, 1 to 13 and 15 to 20. For no apparent reason. Other right. than to make you go to Comixology and buy X-Factor, X-Force 14. Or okay. X-Factor, you know, whatever.
Right.
There are gaps, and there's like one-issue gaps that appear in most titles for no reason.
Right. Well, digital comics are definitely on the rise. Technology is proving that it is easier to take your comics anywhere and not worry about them getting bent. Don't have to worry about bag and
Archie,
board.
Archie Comics has the best digital strategy. You know, they have the Archie app.
Right.
And they have a partnership with a site that has one of these things that you can do to earn free comics. But they have a mobile game, which is one of those sort of tap and wait games like The Simpsons Tapped Out.
Right.
It's called Archie's Riverdale Rescue. And if you play this game, at certain points you get pieces of comic books, and when you get 6 pieces of the same comic book, you get the entire comic for free. But it's redeemable in the Archie Comics app, not in the game itself.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a way, like, hey, play this game, and oh, I got a free comic, oh, I gotta go download this app. Hey, they've got lots of comics here that I can read and buy.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's great advertising. It's a really great strategy.
Very cool. And no, there used to be a Star Trek comic app and a G.I. Joe comic app.
I think IDW does all their stuff through Comixology, though.
Yeah, but they also had separate apps.
Right, yeah, well, so Marvel and DC, and I think there's like a separate Walking Dead app. I think there might have even been a Scott Pilgrim app. I might be mistaken on that last one.
I think there was.
I wish Comixology would get together and work with the manga companies.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them, there's comics I would like Kodansha publishes comics that I would like to have, like Nigma, and they don't have them digitally.
Right.
It's like it's a pain in the ass. They have Fairy Tale digitally. Fairy Tale's kind of. I liked watching the cartoon. The comic has a style that I'm not entirely on board with.
Right. Well, let's see.
And like the Viz app doesn't have Ranma and Mason Ikkoku. I'm like, you know, what the hell? Well, right. I guess they're going to do Ranma.
Well, Viz does have an app though. Never mind.
Yeah,
Viz said that. Never mind.
Yeah. Viz is separate from Comixology. Kodansha's comics right. Separate from Comixology. It's like for some reason, all the manga companies are separate from Comixology. They've all decided to do their own thing. I don't understand why.
Keep more of the money?
Maybe. They do offer lower prices.
I mean, look at Dark Horse. They used to be part of.
Yeah, part of Dark Horse went on their own, too.
They went on their own.
I don't want to have, you know, separate apps and separate accounts for all of them. The digital manga companies, though, a digital volume of manga is like $5 for the 200-page.
And yet, here's...
Blows Comixology out of the water.
And yet, here's Comixology with the new DC graphic novels and...
Yeah, well, that's not Comixology's fault.
No, it's DC's
fault. The publishers set their own prices. I mean, Monkey Brain, which is digital first publisher, and they publish Subatomic Party Girls, which I really like, 99 cents an issue for a 22-page comic with no ads.
That's not bad. So.
You make. The companies make more on a 99-cent sale in Comixology than they do on a $3 sale of a print book. Even after Apple, even if you buy it in the Apple app and Apple takes a cut and Comixology takes a cut, they still make more per dollar on Comixology than they do in print.
Yeah.
I did the math. When you look at the printing costs, they might make more in print on $4 comics because printing costs don't go up.
Right.
You know, whether you charge $3 or $4. All the other costs go up. And all of Comixology's costs and the Apple costs go up. They basically, essentially, they get 35 cents on the dollar on Comixology and about 27 cents a dollar in print at the $3 price point.
Right. So, well, let's slowly bring this episode to a close.
Okay, is this the part where we sing and do the silly dance?
No.
No, that's the Todd Glass Show. Why am I not on the Todd Glass Show, Mike?
I don't know.
I need to call Todd Glass.
You might need to.
He does. The thing is, though, I have to go to the studio, which is a car dealership.
Okay.
They do it above Black Star Motors. Is where their studio is.
Wow.
We should have a car dealership.
I'll see if Carl could do that drop. Meanwhile, at the car dealership at the underwater volcano lair.
Yeah.
News. We are launching a second show.
Yes, it's more of this. And if you enjoyed this, there's something seriously wrong with you.
We are going to be doing a show that will air on Saturdays, which will start November 2nd, on Sorcerer Radio. Sorcerer Radio is the site and station owned by... one of our staff writers, Algin. You've heard him on the show a couple times.
Algin came to us and was like, you know, we want to do a Weeby Geeks, a Marvel show on Sorcerer Radio.
So we're going to be covering all things Marvel, that is Disney Marvel umbrellaed. So yeah. The animated features, you know, the animated films or cartoons, I guess the animated films as well. The music.
The Avengers anime.
The anime, the TV show, the Marvel Disney owned movies, comics, the games. We're going to cover it all.
Yes.
So that will start, like I said, November 2nd. It'll air at 8 o'clock right after Rebel Force Radio. So it'll be a geek night, so to speak, a geek power night.
Yeah, we're going to have to get together with the guys from Rebel Force Radio and do throws like they do on The Daily Show and Colbert Report.
Yes, yes. And then we will also, if you missed it on Rebel Force Radio, or on Sorcerer Radio,
yes,
you will be able to find the episodes
on our website.
On our website and on iTunes at noon. We will drop them on noon, around noon on Sundays, the day
on
after
Sundays.
They air.
Yeah, the Sunday after they air. And this week, on our first episode, we're going to bring you the first part of our interview with comics legend Chris Claremont.
Yes.
Which was amazing.
Oh, that
and
was
then,
so
in November, you'll be able to catch the entire interview on Weebie Geeks when we take a vacation week.
Yes. So,
we're going to look forward to that.
We're going to start big with Chris Claremont as our first episode.
Yeah, but you just, the first taste is free, and then you got to pay.
So we're going to give you part of the interview.
Yeah, on Sorcerer Radio. And
then
if you want the whole thing,
then
you're
going to have
to
wait.
Us. Yes.
So we appreciate the hospitality and the offer to come do this from the gang over at Sorcerer Radio, and we're looking forward to it.
Yes, and you should be too. Like, because it's me, essentially. I'm awesome. So
they're slowly turning this DC kid into a Marvel kid.
You know, I had an ex-girlfriend who told me that it annoyed her when I said that I was awesome. I was like, "Do you really take that seriously?"
See, I'm thinking this is a conspiracy between you and Aljon, getting me into more Marvel than DC.
I think it's a conspiracy between Dan Didio and Jim Lee putting out shit every month. I think that's why you're getting more into Marvel than DC.
Well,
if DC would publish anything worth, because I've never considered myself like a exclusively Marvel fan. I've always loved Superman. I've never been like, oh, Marvel's great and DC sucks. I've liked them both equally. I've always liked Green Lantern. It's just DC's just putting out shovels
garbage.
Full of shit every month. Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, I'm a Batman fan, and I have the only Batman I'm really picking up is Batman 66. I have Batman Zero Year, but I just haven't gotten in, you know, I haven't been able to delve into it to pick up the other issues. Prior to that, I mean, I'm picking up some of the older stuff, like the two Kevin Smith story arcs.
Well, Morrison stuff was pretty good.
But I just haven't done much.
Yeah, if DC would publish better books, maybe we'd talk about DC. Maybe we'd do a DC show.
I mean, for me, Larfleeze, I think is great.
Yeah.
And right
I'm
now,
sure Justice League 3000 is going to be okay, even though it's going to piss me off every month that it's not Legion of Superheroes.
No, I hear Batman Beyond 2.0 is pretty good.
Yeah. Notice how none of these books...
Justice League 2.0 is really good, but these are digital first.
No, notice how none of these books that we're mentioning other than Lark Flees are even set in the DC universe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge Teen Titans fan, yet I have not picked up a single issue of Teen Titans from the New 52.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
And probably there is.
Teen Titans hasn't been good since Geoff Johns left, really. I mean, no offense to Sean McKeever. He came in and made the best of a bad situation.
Right.
And he's kind of the only one. They've had Liefeld and Scott Lobdell.
Right.
On Teen Titans in the New 52. It's just like, no. I liked Scott Lobdell's X-Men, but...
Well, I've picked up...
Yeah, I was 14 at the time, too.
Oh, what did I get? Obviously, I have the Wolfman Perez stuff, which is great. I don't have anything of the original run. What did I get? Oh, I've picked up Batgirl. It's been, you know, more recent issues.
You know, is that the Gail Simone Batgirl with Barbara Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah, this just pissed me off. I really liked the Stephanie Brown Batgirl series they did before the New 52. It was really a fun book.
I'm digging this whole thing. I'm digging the whole thing where she's killed her brother and she's now wanted. And I mean, it's a cool concept. But it's once that story arc ends, I might not be picking it up again. Now, Batman right now, I'm so hit and miss.
Yeah, I think we better wrap up the show. My lights just flashed.
Uh-oh.
They're back on, but, you know, if the power goes out here, you're going to be without an ending. So, Mike, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at Weeby Geeks. At
Weeby Geeks on Twitter.
At Weeby Geeks on Twitter, yes. Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/WeebyGeeksPC. Email us at WeebyGeeksPC.com. I'm sorry. God, I'm rambling tonight. WeebyGeeksPC@gmail.com. Feel free to give us a call. Leave us your comments, questions, concerns.
Ideas for Dildo Danny. Like what his friends might be named. Vinny the Vibrator.
Stan the Submariner.
Pumpin' Pete.
Spelunking Steve.
Okay, Mike, that's just gross. That's enough out of you. You're filth. Bringing filth to this podcast. give us the number, Mike. The number.
321-219-8227. If you enjoy the show, leave us a review on both iTunes and Stitcher.
Yes, that would help.
Please review. Rate us. Well, maybe not after the Dildo Danny comments.
Dude,
but...
Dildo Danny. Give Dildo Danny 5 stars. He will make it worth your while.
We can find you where, Eric?
At NecroFamicom on Twitter, and you cannot find me on Facebook because Facebook is shitty.
And there we have it. We can find Jessica, who's normally with us, at Wicked SoCal.
Yes, Jessica is having some scheduling conflicts, but we still love her, and she will be back on the show.
Mark, we can find at CRH Mark with a C. Mark.
Yes. Yes, and you'll be able to find me on Crazy Random Happenstance this week with Mark as well.
And Mark's going to be joining us next week for the next edition of the Casting
Couch. The Cattle
Couch. The Cattle Couch.
The Cattle Couch.
The Cattle Couch.
We'll get together, fuck a cow until it's ready to cook. Because you needed that image of like 3 overweight comics geeks fucking a cow.
Yes.
Good luck with the rest of your week, guys. I hope you weren't eating.
You can also find... Oh, where'd it go? I had it. It's gone. You can find... And I'm going to be editing.
Are we looking for Aljon? That's Jedi Mouseketeer.
Jedi Mouseketeer. I'm trying to find Liz.
I believe that's at Liz Gamaz. I'll double check.
Liz is at... Do not have it there.
I have it. I'm on it. At Liz Gamaz.
At Liz Gamaz, okay. Yeah. Sean Guy is at Guy_Sean. If I remember right. He's one of our new writers. Derek is at,
at NES of Geek.
NES of Geek, yes. Who are we missing? I think that's everyone.
Yeah.
Eric, Sean.
There's Vicky. She doesn't use Twitter anymore. I mean, she's on it, but she doesn't use it. And I don't know if she still uses the account she was giving.
Oh, her bat cow?
Yeah. Maybe. Okay. I don't know. Vicky doesn't tweet anymore.
She's too busy in Japan.
I know. She's being in Japan.
So that's the staff, and other than that, let's shout-outs to Sorcerer Radio, shout-outs to Rebel Force Radio, shout-out to the Well Watchers, to Brian Camacho and the gang over there. Again, shout outs to Sean Hernandez and Christopher Daniels, who got hosed at Bound for Glory. And, anything else?
No, play the music.
Consider it played.
Give the evacuation code signal.
I will bring you back a snowball.
All right.
Self-destruct
in
20 seconds. This is your last chance to push the cancellation button.
It's over, Brian. Adventure. Excellent.
Why, oh, why did I pick the blue pill?
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it.
Hold it. Hold it. I said hold it. By the way, why are we wearing bras on our heads?
Ceremonial.
Clark, I don't like the look of this neighborhood.
Come on, Ellen. It's important for the kids to witness the plight of the rebellion. Kids, you noticing all this plight? Roll them up.
We be geeks, your voice of the geek revolution.
This has been a We Be Geeks production.